So the next reader, all I have to say about her is that I think she's Buddha.
There's lots of people here. I don't do this very much. Okay, I don't really know what part to read, so I'm just going to read and then stop when it's a bit into it. It's called Fish in a Pond. On Friday, first of all, it's written from a male perspective, and I'm not going to do a low voice, so use your imaginations. On Friday, there's group therapy that I wheel Richard into, mostly for patients who's lost their drive for life, or a lot of them are fatally ill or depressed because of transplant medication or other pills. The first time I went, we talked about making goals or finding meaning to a life that may end soon, mostly family stuff. We go around in a circle and talk about what we still want to achieve considering the circumstances. The therapy stands at the front. We all sit on exercise balls because it's supposed to help us concentrate on bouncing more than our negative thoughts. So far, it's helped me ship better. Richard sits in the wheelchair, and this lady seems to be okay with that. We go around in a circle holding the grapefruit when it's our turn, donated every week by the cafeteria. I saw the therapist eating it one day after the circle, which seemed to diminish its importance. This week, we're asking ourselves what animal we think best represents us. I say, I'm here with Richard, but apparently that doesn't exempt me from the discussion. I start to run animals through my head. I think I'd like to be some sort of fast and dangerous thing like a cheetah, or something smart like a fox, or something great like a whale, but when it comes to my turn, I blurt out giraffe, as if I'd had put some really good thought into it. Where that came from, I have no fucking idea. I must be like a tall and skinny creature, dumb-brained and all. I imagine myself trimming the desert trees with my unusually long tongue, constantly darting my head every way, waiting for something that never happens. I resolve to think of the more fitting animal in my spare time. There are four of us male nurses that I work with on my unit. Horatio, a chunky guy with black hair. He always has this common blue hospital scrubs with the name of the hospital printed on the knee. I assume his favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla because he doesn't like things out of the ordinary, but he won't eat ice cream because he's lactose intolerant. He's a hypochondriac. We all become a bit that way from nursing, but he's the most paranoid. Last week, he thought he was allergic to strawberries, and he could apparently feel his throat swelling up. Aaron's a smooth talker. In the first 3 weeks of switching to our unit, he took 5 patients out on dates. He's the only guy who would ever figure out that the word patients has a lot of the same letters in it as panties. One of the girls came in because of alcohol poisoning. He claims he did her on the table of the cafeteria after hours, and he swears they fucked in the maternity recovery room. But Aaron is known to embellish the truth. He took nursing because it's 93% female occupation. We call him Airy. Kung Chu, the South Korean, his parents wanted him to be a doctor. They may still think he's taking medicine. He lives in the basement of our townhouse, Airy and I rent, where he does a lot of experiments and keeps to himself. I think he's either interested in chemistry or planning to bomb South Korea. We call him KC. Then there's me, Jake. I have about as much body fat as Steven Tyler after a coke addiction. I like to think I'm all three others slightly put together. I fuck less than Airy, I'm less paranoid than Horatio, and I'm not Asian, as far as I know. But I'm a bit of all of them. I've been trying to define myself since college, I guess technically since birth, but every time I think I've got something figured out, I fuck up and still end up with giraffe. We're all sitting there around the lunchroom eating the stale sandwiches we made to eat on break. I'm on emergency tonight with KC. They tend to switch us up a lot at the start to get us used to all the departments. The undergrad nurses have to do the worst shit, like the night shift, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., 4 nights a week, clean up after patients with exploding diarrhea or paperwork, which may be even worse. In emergency, a guy has just been wheeled in with blood rolling down his face. Between his nostrils and his hair is wet with blood and sweat like he took a shower in it. The doctors hurry in and we're trying to clean up this mess that's trailing in. The kid is unconscious, but he rolls his head around every once in a while for a bit, which freaks us out a bit. The kid was having a flashback, and he decided he should go to the shed and try to saw his brain in half to get rid of the hallucinations, says the ambulance driver. We all cringe. The kid rolls his head over and mumbles, I keep cleaning dried blood off his face, looking for other wounds, but can't stop focusing on the big one sliced into his head. Lucky the skull's so thick. Hey, guys, the doctor says. We smile, sort of. He will be all right, just have a splitting headache. He laughs at his own joke. Fuck, sometimes I wonder if patients could hear the shit that we talk about when we think they're too out of it to know. I'd rather stay unconscious than wake up to a surgeon who thinks he's a fucking comedian. I leave the room and walk down the hall for files the doctor asked for. We sleep through the day and work at night for 4 days, then have 3 days off so we can try to get used to it all over again the next week. At first, we used those 3 days off pretty well, traveled around Michigan, went out of state to Kentucky and Ohio once, spent time in Chicago. But after 8 months, we gradually resigned to spend a lot of time in our house playing video games, drinking a lot, and making plans for a future that at this rate would never happen. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I take care of my 5-year-old nephew for 2 hours before work. My sister drops him off in front of the house. I can see him get out of the car, and she drives away before even seeing me come out. Fucking lawyers, I mumble and walk out the screen door. Hey, Kyle, how you doing today? He brings a dead fish from behind his back. Fuck, it smells like the kind of wretched vomit that spills out of ODs on the emergency on Saturday night. Wow, Kyle, where did you get that? Did you catch it yourself? I say in as nice of a tone as I can possibly choke out of myself. No, I found it floating in the pond behind Grandma's house. Oh, I smile, trying not to breathe in. Hey, I have an idea. Let's go to the park. Kyle's holding onto the fish. I'm not sure if kids' olfactory senses don't work until they are 12 or if they start when they start sensing their own body odor, or if they are just disgusting and naturally attracted to other disgusting things. The car is full of fish smell. I open the window, stick my head out, and take a deep breath. I keep driving, hoping not to pass out. We stop in the parking lot of the man-made lake in the park, and I take Kyle to the edge of it. You know, Kyle, when you catch a fish, it's really nice to put it back in the lake where it came from. Why? He doesn't understand mortality. So it can go and swim a good life with the other fishes. He looks at me cautiously and frowns. He edges near the pond and throws it in like he would a beer bottle. It flies head over tail into the water. We watch it float. There is something strangely sentimental about this moment. He seems to not be concerned that it isn't swimming until three seagulls start fighting over the gray flesh and ripping up the pieces of it. What are those birds doing to my fish? He doesn't understand mortality, and I assume it isn't the right time to explain the circle of life. Having lunch, let's go. The next night, I wake up at 4 in the afternoon, go into the hospital at 7, put my stuff in the lounge, and pick up one of the shitty celebrity magazines that all the nurses get obsessed with. I find Horatio in the files, fingers bleeding from paper cuts. What's going on, Horatio? You look sick. Someone's been stealing the, what? The samples from the lab. He says as if he's about to cry or get sick or something. Like, what kind of samples? I don't want to talk about it. It's too disturbing. But what sort of stuff is being stolen? What, do you want me to spell it out for you? Shit, piss, blood, spit, all of it. It's gone. All of yesterday's specimens and Mondays and Wednesdays, all of them gone. Who the fuck steals samples and why would you do that? It's so fucking disgusting and it doesn't even make sense. How did you find out? The boss told me this morning. She wants to know who's doing it, so she made it my job to figure it out. It's illegal, you know. That's all highly confidential material, just so you know. A person get charged pretty high for invasion of privacy. He keeps hinting at me. Horatio, I didn't take it. How does she know it wasn't a new doctor, doesn't know the system or something? They checked, it's nowhere in the hospital, so I have to go through the files telling all these people to come in for new samples and at the same time find the person taking them. Jesus, that's fucked up. What are you going to do? He's not listening anymore. His ear's on the phone talking frantically to the patients. I stroll back to my ward and go to work changing the sheets in the terminally sick patients. Richard, is it about time that I should stop?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. I just don't know what 10 minutes is. Okay. I stroll back to my ward and go to work changing the sheets of terminally sick patient Richard. He has cancer of the lungs, but he never smoked a cigarette in his life. I feel like our staggering mortality can be unfair sometimes. We chew the fat every day at this time of night. When he's awake and coughing up yellow spit into a plastic bag, he has a hard time sleeping, and when he lies down, he coughs more. You know, kid, I saw a lot of this as a boy in the 30s, but nowadays you think they would have something to ease the pain, you know, something. He coughs up more yellow spit. I just could have done things in life. Like what, Rich? We have been talking for 4 months now on a first name basis. I guess maybe more crazy things in the 60s, like had an affair with Joan Baez or something. Did you know her? I say as I wrap a sheet over the end of the bed. No. But I'm sure I could have. The world was much smaller then. He takes a long pause between sentences to take slow, long breaths. The 60s were great. You could hitchhike anywhere and never worry about who picked you up. People weren't so fixed up on material things like now. You had what you had and that was enough. Sounds great. I pull a chair up to his bed. I've always been a firm believer that every day is a new chance to turn it all around. and that something's cut off, change it all to... I'm positive it's a quote from a movie, but he swears it's his and maybe Hollywood took it from him, or maybe Jones stole it. I decided to dedicate my next 3 days off to finding that quote, but lose interest quickly and call it his. I swear by it now. He falls asleep and wakes up several times every night. When he wakes up, he likes to reminisce more. Sometimes I think when I'm old, I'll have nothing more interesting than grapefruit to reminisce about.
So that was great. Thank you, Jindalee.